thank God for the Owenses being here with us. We thank God for he and his family. And I wanted to just make a mention before we went into the message tonight. Did you hear that statistic when he said there were 70,000 gypsies in that one square mile? That's a lot of people in a little small area. And I want you to pray for them, that the Lord would just continue to use them. And all of the video footage, I was looking at looking at those folks that were listed that couldn't, whatever that phrase was, said that I got saved, couldn't do that because they're already in heaven. And what a joy to think about a missionary being there, that people are already in glory because of somebody being faithful enough to go. And brother, we thank you for that. And of course, we just pray that fruit will continue to abound, and we're thankful for that. Well, we're looking at Galatians chapter 6 as we'll get into it for the next few moments, and we're about done with this book. We'll finish up, of course, here, and then I think we'll do one more week just summarizing all of it as we've tried to preach through Galatians on the Sunday evenings. But we're looking at chapter number 6, verses 15 down to 18, and we look at some of the motives of God's man, Apostle Paul, as he's concluding this book. God's using him to do it. But verse 15 of Galatians 6, the Bible says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Basically say you can keep that and you can keep the other. Doesn't matter about those, but a new creature, a new birth. "And as many as walk according to this rule," that standard, that practice, the faith in Jesus Christ, "peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." I want to preach for this a little while, this message about Galatians, for the final lesson again, except for maybe just a summary next week. But we finish this book and we see that it finishes about the same way it started. It finishes reminding people that it's not our religion that counts. Now, we're here on a Sunday night. You know, I often joke about people that come to church every Sunday, and then some really weird ones come back Sunday night, and then some of you are going to be strange enough, you come back on a Wednesday night. And so we thank God for all of the ones that do, of course. But to the world, that seems like quite a waste of time, because you've got a lot going on tomorrow. You've got the week to get ready for. You've got all of these things coming at you. Shouldn't you be at home organizing your spice rack, or organizing your to-do list, or organizing your clothes, getting them ready for things that will go on this week? Instead, we're here in the house of the Lord. And so we see this, and people would say, "Boy, you're really a religious fanatic." And I thank God for you fanatics that are back on a Sunday night. But I thank God. I realize also, though, as I thank God for that, that just in this passage of Scripture, it's reminding us that your religious fanaticism, if you've got it, is not counting for anything as far as your salvation goes. Nobody came in the door and said, "Well, if I get one more check mark," this is not like the frequent shopper, that if I get certain amount of check marks, then I get a free pass for something. If I get five coffees, I get the sixth one free. If I get certain amount of big gulps, and I get the seventh free. It's not that at all. We're here because we love the Lord, and you're here to hear from the Word of God. But as we finish this passage of Scripture, we realize it's not religion that counts. Father, be with us now as our prayer. Thank you for what we've heard. Thank you for these young people. Thank you for the Owenses. Thank you for that choir reminding us of what heaven for me will be. Thank you for this great evening, dear Lord. If this is the last Sunday night we get to enjoy together, if you would come before we meet again, I would certainly be thankful for this time that we've had together as your people. Bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, in this passage in verse number 15, the need for the new birth. You can mark it down all the way through Scripture. Somebody said that Jesus' blood is the scarlet cord that runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. You look even in the Old Testament as they show that Messiah that was going to come. Job said, the oldest known book in the Old Testament, says, "I know my Redeemer liveth." I know that there's something different than this. You look at that all the way from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and you see that there's the need for the new birth. In verse number 15, it says, "For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." These Jews would have been greatly offended when they heard this part, your circumcision doesn't mean anything. Now, we've covered it before, that just that rite that they did, and that was one of the trademarks, if you will, of the Jewish faith, that they did that. They would be greatly offended when somebody says, boy, your circumcision, it availeth nothing, or it doesn't avail anything. This, they easily said, your uncircumcision doesn't mean anything. Oh, they would amen that part. You better believe it doesn't mean anything, because you're filthy, you're this, you're that, you're vile. They would get that part. But when you got to part, the Apostle Paul got to that part where he says, neither does your uncircumcision mean anything, but also neither does that great work that you're so proud of. Let's bring it to today. Yes, you're trying to live a good life on your street. Yes, trying to pay your bill, trying to be that good employee, trying to be that person that is upright and honest and does good and tries to be right and tries to be righteous and tries to go to church, try to raise your family in church. I say to you, praise the Lord, as the pastor, I love it. As far as you getting you one inch closer to heaven, it doesn't work. And so we see that the need for the new birth is put forth here. We detest that thought of people walking on their knees. I watched some documentary some time ago about the things that people will do to physically deprive themselves, walking up their knees, up the steps of a certain religious organization, thinking that by causing themselves pain, somehow that's proving to God that I'm really sincere. And we understand that we would laugh at that and say, you can't get to heaven by mutilating yourself. You can't get to heaven by depriving yourself. You can't get to heaven by doing all these things. And I would say, yes, yes, yes. But I'm reminding this crowd tonight that you carrying your Bible in here on a Sunday night and you being faithful to church and you trying to do all these things, that doesn't count one bit for your salvation either. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's either all Christ or it's nothing. There's no promise anywhere in this scripture where you said, he that cometh to Christ and is baptized. He that cometh to Christ and is faithful. He that cometh to Christ and is a good spouse. The Bible says that none of those things but a new creature. So we see the need for the new birth. We look in verse number 16, it says, and as many as walk according to this rule, I'm told that rule, that phrase there, is just simply like a carpenter's rule. And so the Bible teaches that you're going to be lined up against that rule, and that rule is going to be Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that you can do to measure up to where you need to be in order to get to heaven except through His precious blood. And as many as walk according to that rule, what rule? The rule that's listed in verse number 15, and that is being a new creature in Jesus Christ. Be on them, peace be on them, he says, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Certain commentators that I read after seemed to indicate that little phrase there, and the Israel of God, was trying to just, God driving it home again. This Israel that was truly from Abraham, of course, yes, as it came up, but as Abraham walked in faith, now these Jewish believers, we're going to also have to walk in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and differentiating those people who were counting their heritage as something that obtained salvation. You can be a higher, holier than thou Jew, as they, some of those were. You can be a holier than thou American. You can be a holier than thou superior person in so many different fashions. And that's why the old preacher said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, whether you came in with the most money or you need to borrow money to get gas to get here. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You don't come to salvation, and you don't come to heaven, rather, through anything but salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the need for the new birth. But then I want you to look in verse number 17. We see the marks in his body. From henceforth, from here on, let no man trouble me. Let nobody give me any trouble for different things. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I can say that I stand in awe of those martyrs that have gone on before. Sometimes you read these different accounts of people that have stood for Christ, and they stood there sometimes at the stake asking people, begging them just to recant, meaning that just denounce Christ and we'll let you live. And as the old martyr said, here I stand, I can't recant. Choosing to suffer a painful, agonizing death instead of saying verbally that I reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of the suffering that I've done is usually because of my dumb choices, and I think a lot of us are that way. I've seen people claim that their stand for Jesus is what caused them great pain. Oftentimes, I find that it's not necessarily the stand, it's the unkind way in which they did. Sometimes we get that confused, and you can take an obstinate stand and be ugly and mean-spirited, and sometimes you get that unwanted advance because of the way you stood. And that hateful attitude ought not to be the thing that gets us treated wrong. But my brother, if sister, if you stand for Christ and you get some hatred for it, you're in pretty good company. The Apostle Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And he wasn't talking about, oh, I got treated bad over at the Food City when I tried to offer somebody a track. Literally bearing the marks, being beaten for his faith in Christ. I sometimes wonder about us as modern day Christians here in this country. Now, not in other countries, but in this country, how we wear our feelings, as it were, out on our sleeve. And sometimes we invite somebody to church and say, I don't want to hear anything about that. And we run away like a whipped puppy thinking, boy, I've really suffered for Jesus. And I think about folks that have stood and given the ultimate sacrifice, their death for the Lord Jesus. So if I suffer for him, may I do it willingly. I see the marks in his body in verse number 17. And once you look at the verse number 18 as we conclude, and he says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. As the book begins, if you look back in chapter 1, verse 3, you don't have to, but it says, grace be to you and peace from God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he opens it up here just a few chapters ago. He opens it, and then he closes it. It's like bookends. Those bookends that hold it all together. He says, I start off with grace. What grace? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace, as somebody's put that across, to God's riches at Christ's expense. There's a reason why we can stand justified in the sight of God tonight. There's a reason why we can rejoice and we can go to bed tonight not having to worry about where we're going to go if we die. There's a reason why we can rejoice and have fellowship one with the other. And the reason is grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. There's a reason I can stand and I can say to you with a surety that I'm on my way to heaven. It's not because of the life I live or the family I was born into or the people that I know or anything that's been afforded me in my 50 years of life, but instead it's because Jesus Christ justified me. He put his salvation, his righteousness imputed into me, and my filthiness was put on him at the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says that he ends it the same way he started. He says, grace be to you. And I'm asking you this evening, may your life and my life, just like this book, just like Galatians, may it be summed up by grace. What do people think of when they think of you? What's the overwhelming aura you put off? What's the overwhelming odor? What's the overwhelming fragrance that you put off? Now, we've all been around people that they splash too much high karate on. Hi-ya! I don't even know if they still make that stuff, but I know there's an old commercial Dad used to watch. I do remember the Stetson commercial. I remember that when I was a kid. And this lady said, for that great smelling man that picked me up today, I get off at 6. Stetson, brute. Am I speaking your language? Maybe you've gotten a little bit more fancy in that. Maybe some of you still work on those Avon decanters. You know, those Avon ones look like birds or a spark plug or an old car or whatever. I don't know where you're getting your stuff at. But it doesn't matter what it is, too much of a good thing is still too much. Some people just take a bath in it. You can smell him coming. But I should pray instead of wish, that I would be perfumed with grace. That when people see me coming or see me leaving, they might not know everything about, well, I bet he's a pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church. They may not know that. They may not know, I bet he pastors Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They may not know that. May not know, he used the King James Bible and he's this. They may not know all that. But I do want them to know when I leave, there's something a little different about that guy. And I believe that'll happen when we're perfumed with grace. The book starts off with grace. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. and it ends with grace. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Grace starts it and grace ends it. I think we've wrongfully assessed that sometimes we ought to be known by our strict adherence to a certain amount of rules. And I believe in rules. I think that we ought to govern our life by rules. You ought to get up the time you need to get up to go to work. You ought to do this. You ought to faithfully get to work. You ought to faithfully lead your family. You ought to faithfully do this. But while we do all those things that we need to, in the church, of course, we've got different rules for service and all that, membership, background checks and all that. I think we ought to faithfully do everything that we do. But along with that faithfulness, I think we ought to put in a lot of grace. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. And the Apostle Paul, as God uses him to write this book, Galatians, we remember that he's really taking shots at those Judaizers who are wanting those people that say they got saved to make sure they get circumcised, make sure they do all these other things, make sure that they meet every requirement that we've set up just to be sure that they're really saved. Curtis Hudson used to say that'd be like going to a funeral home and saying, well, these are dead. Now these ones are really dead. You're either one or the other. And you're not really saved or saved. But he said that that a saved individual, that saved person, that person that's in Christ, only is saved, only is on their way to heaven, not because of their good works, but only through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe we've got a lot of people, not in this church necessarily, but in churches across our land that are fooled into thinking that their religion somehow is getting them credit with God. They think that because they've worked up a certain amount of service, because they've garnered a certain position, because they've had longevity, whatever it is, that somehow now God shines or favors them. My friend, God looks upon you and sees you as righteous only, not through your service, not through your longevity, not through your position, but only when your sins are covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so he takes every one of those Judaizers, and those are those people that wanted to add their part of the religion to salvation. And he takes all of them and clears them off. He says it started with grace, it's ending with grace. Salvation was through justification through Jesus Christ alone, not your uncircumcision, not your circumcision, but through Christ and Christ alone. And my friend, it stands exactly the same today. Jesus Christ is our only hope of heaven. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time to be in your house, dear Lord. I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, I ask you to meet with us in a special way. Thank you for the great service we've had. I pray that you'd bless us. Brother Dan's going to come and lead us in hymn number 295. As he comes, if you're able to, would you stand together softly and tenderly? Jesus is calling. Words will be out there on the screen or in your book. Let's sing this hymn of invitation. And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Brother Kyle will be right down here at the front. If you need somebody to pray with, then you come. If you need to be saved tonight, would you come? Whatever God's working on your heart in.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Come home.
Well, if you're not in a huge hurry, would you sit down for just a moment? I want to thank God for saving me. And I grew up in a Christian home. Most all of you know the story. I grew up in a Christian home. Dad is teaching me from the get-go, and I thank God that he got saved before I was born, and God turned his life completely around. And I grew up in a home pleasing to the Lord, honoring God, going to church. And I'm thankful that that was easy, so to speak, for me to hear the gospel. And I'm so burdened for folks that didn't grow up like that. There's so many of them around here. It wasn't handed to them on a silver platter like it was to me, so to speak. It would have been harder for me not to get saved than it was to get saved because I'd grown up around it. But you know, there's so many folks around us that it's getting more and more like this. They wouldn't know Jesus from Santa Claus. And so it's our job, it's our privilege to go out this week and try to be light and salt in this world and ultimately try to get people to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here. Brother Danny, would you come, please?
The pastor and the deacon recommend that we give Jonathan Owens' family, missionaries to Bulgaria, support of $100 per month and $200 in the month of December, $1,300 total per year. This will come from the mission fund, and I make this a motion.
So I talked to the deacons some time ago. Of course, we knew the Owenses were coming, and we checked them out, as we always do for all of our potential missionaries. And Bible college trained, been on the field for 20 years, have seen multiple people saved, and just working when, as they say, making a way when there is no way, and the Lord's helping them in every area. And so he has no intention of retiring or stopping. He's just going to go back and keep on doing what he's doing. And the video evidence tonight was quite a blessing to my heart. And so I talked to the men here last week or whenever it was and said, Lord, I believe the Lord would have us do that. And then he confirmed it as we got to go out and meet with him the other night. And then we'll spend a little bit of time after church tonight with him as well. But it's just a blessing to get to partner with them. And we thank God for the emphasis on missions. And we plan on keeping it until Jesus takes us home, the emphasis on getting the gospel around the world, be it here or anywhere else that we can get people to go. So with that being said, that motion is made by me and the deacons, and so we would need a second to do that. Brother Shad Teague, he's our connection with the Owens family. Shad seconds that motion, and we're so excited about taking them into our mission family. We don't do it lightly. We do a lot of groundwork to figure out if they're on track and staying for the Lord and whatnot. So that motion is seconded. So we would need a so all in favor of that motion carrying through, would you say aye? Aye. All opposed, same sign. Well, now Danny has been forgetting to do this the last few meetings we've had, but we're going to have to, Danny, I can't let you go now. We're going to have to get a motion to end the business meeting. So we've got to watch him. So, all right, we'd need a motion to close the business meeting. John Young makes that motion. We need a second for that. All right, Brother Larry Gallion, all in favor, would you stand together? And it's been a great place to be. I'm going to ask the Owens, if you don't mind, brother, to slip on out to your table, and you and your wife and his children, that you, as you want them to go back there. And hopefully you'll get by to meet them. Get one of their prayer cards. Mine must be over here. Get one of their prayer cards so you can remember to pray for them. Miss Stephanie will be putting them up down the hall, and that as they get their letters in, she'll be posting them, and you can keep up with them. But I challenge you to get that prayer card, get an email address, and keep up with them and know them and fervently pray that the Lord would just continue to use them. They'll be here for a little while longer on furlough, but then they'll be back over to Bulgaria, and it's a blessing to get to partner with them in this way. Well, I think that's it. We're good to go. All right. Well, thank you for being in church. Make sure you see the Owenses on your way out. God bless you. You're dismissed.